on. Right. Well, did you bring your spiritual appetites? I had to say spiritual because some would say, you know that we're serving pizza today after service. But yeah, if you're hungry, all you have to do is bring your appetite and pull out your fork and your knife and dig in and pull up to the table. Yeah. You know, this is a spirit and a word church, right? Yeah. And we have the life of God flowing through and in and amongst us. You know, we've been to a lot of churches, you know, some on the mainland, and they weren't spirit and life churches. We thought they were. And, you know, we're sitting there, and you're almost waiting for them to bring in the body, you know, the casket, you know, because things are kind of dead. Not kind of. They were pretty dead. And but we are a spirit and a word and spirit church. And we have the life and the flow of God, the Holy Ghost, amongst us. So there is life, you know, and the flow of the Spirit here. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. If you would turn with me today to your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Father, I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we thank you for the word that is our rescue. It's our help. It's the light in places of darkness. It's our deliverance. It's our healing. It's our hope. It's our provision. It's our increase. It's our help. It's our power. And Father, we thank you for the word. We love the word. And we love you, Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, who is the comforter. He's our standby. I love that. My standby, your standby, standing by you to see when you need help, standing by to jump in and rescue you, standing by to bring to your remembrance things that the Lord has deposited in you so you can draw upon them in your moment of need. We have a standby, a helper, a comforter. The third person of the Godhead. He's not any less. He's not lesser. But it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they equally share all the power and glory of the Godhead. And he is here with us. And I'm so thankful. And Holy Spirit, I submit to you this morning, and I yield to you. And we thank you that you will draw out of the word that which the people need to hear. One that will feed them, not just sustain them, but will change their courses and will bring them and bring all of us where we need to be today, right this day, August 5th, 2018. We, precious Spirit of the Lord, we welcome you here. We honor you. We honor you, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title is, It's Not How You Start, but how you finish. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. You know, everybody here, mostly you men, you've probably all played sports at one time in your life. And whether it was a team sport or whether you were singular, you know, football, hockey, baseball, whatever it was, you always had your underdog. You always had the one where all the bets were off on that one because, you know, we knew that he didn't come to all the practices. He was a little slow. He wasn't your strongest player. And he was considered the underdog. But you know that when the time came for the game to start, and this underdog won, and he touched, you know, and he made multiple touchdowns and brought victory to the team. People never would have knew, you know. And America loves underdogs. We love the one that doesn't look, they're not too swift, not too fast. But boy, I tell you, when they take the victory and they take that baton or they take the football or, you know, they win the race, man, we love that. We love seeing that. But we're not the underdogs in the race that we're in. We're not underdogs by any means because he said that he's the author and the finisher of our faith and also our race. He's the author and the finisher. So it doesn't matter how you start off. A lot of you have gotten a slow start in your spiritual, in your Christian walk. A lot of you started out strong. When you got saved, you were full of zeal and just full of the love of God. And it's good that you continued and carried that. But the Lord is not just the author where he initiated and started your race, but he's the finisher too. And he wants all of us to finish strong. Strong. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to finish strong. Yeah, yes. We're all going to finish strong. In Hebrews, this 12th chapter, verse 2, it says, and I'm reading out of the Message. It says, do you see what this means? This is the Message, so it'll seem a little different from your translation. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Get them off a man. Yeah, yes. Study how he did it. Study how Jesus did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. Never. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He can put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. The long litany of hostility that he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Wow. That'll just get your battery charged and get you started again, looking to see how Jesus did it. He's our example. He's our model. Let's see how he ran his race. In the Amplified, it says that looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we all start things, but how good are you at finishing them? I'm sure we've all started projects. Some of you have maybe even started adding on to your home, building, pouring cement, you got all the building materials, you got all of the necessary, the blueprints, the plans, you got approval. And then certain things come in and you destined to build this and to do this. And you sit down and you've got certain money set aside for the project. And then time goes on to where something with the job, a need, with the wife or the kids or something pulls you out, you have to go off island and you get distracted and you get pulled off from completing that project. And whether it's a large project, something small, or whether it's a project for your ministry, sometimes we're good starters. We have good intentions. We start out wanting to, we get the materials, we're going to do this. And it could be anything, small or large, even for a project for school. And then something happens and you lose your focus and you kind of get called away off course over here. And the project just remains unfinished, still lying there, nothing, just sitting dormant, and it's not completed. And that's how sometimes we can be in our spiritual race too, in our walk with God. He wants us to be finishers. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher. He sees the end before the beginning. Author means the creator and originator of any written work, and is the person who determines responsibility for that created work. God authored your race. He did author each and every one of your race, of our races that we're in today, our walk with God, the way that we started out. He authored it, and he takes responsibility for it also. He does, but he's not going to run it for us. We have to do that. And if you're not, and if you're one of those, or even that personality types that procrastinates, puts things off, saying, I'll get to that next week, next month, and you know deep down inside it's never going to get done. You know, it's going to get pushed back further and further, and then before you know it, cobwebs are forming on it, and that thing that you were so zealous and fervent about just got to be an afterthought. And he doesn't want us like that with our race. God says he's the author and finisher of our faith. In the word it says, and this is the Amplified, then let us run with patient endurance and steady, active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. There's an appointed course. There's many courses we could take, but there's an appointed course that each and every one of you have been authored by God. My race isn't like your race. Your race isn't like my race. So we can't even compare with one another. We can't look and say, you know, well, look what they're doing. And we can't even do things the way he did it or she did it. Because you know why? God's maybe calling you to do things he's never called me to do. You know, a lot of times in my Christian walk growing up, I would look at different ones, even some different women, and you know, I would get convicted about something, and I would think, how do they get away with that, you know? And I would say, how do you get away with that? God won't allow me to do that. Well, God's preparing us and setting you apart for certain things. And what some people can do, you can't do. There's all different levels. Now, it may not be sin, but, you know, God's called us. If he has a specific task and race, you may have to get away more with the Lord. Set yourself apart. Spend more time praying. Might not be able to do the things that the world is doing, you know. Going out, Catherine Kuhlman said, she said that she can't do things that other women do, like go shopping, go get your hair done, go this and that, and she just couldn't because of the price that she paid to see the miracles and healings in her ministry. She couldn't do those things. She had to stay locked in and focused to God. She paid a price, but look at the fruit that it brought forth. Look at the souls. Look at the people that came to the Lord. Look at, you know, how the Lord used her. She couldn't just go out there and say, well, I'm done preaching that day, and I can just do what I want the rest of the 6 days. She didn't. She lived every life locked into the Lord, set apart. And so you can't even look at the other person then who's running their race, because each of us have an appointed, a set race. And so God has authored our race, and he says that he would bring it to completion. And so, and each of us have our race written out, because if God authored it, that means he wrote it out. An author is one, as I read you the definition, they write out your destiny, your course. Well, where's that in the Bible? Look at Psalm 139. 139, verse 16. He says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Do you see that? Before we were even born, your autobiography, your biography was already written out, recorded by God. Can you imagine that? Every person on the face of this earth, whether you accepted him or not, it says your comings and your goings, they're recorded in this book. What book is that? The book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before even a single day had passed. You know, some people are on a course, but it's not the appointed course. You may be thinking, well, I'm saved and I'm running my race. Is it the appointed course, though? Because when you get off from your appointed course, from the plan, from this, from what God had authored about you, you can get sidetracked and you can get off into an area where God never authored it to be. And then there's when blessings stop and things come in and you just, well, why isn't God doing this? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't this opening up to me? Why do you maybe you strayed off from the appointed course. God had yesterday, as I was studying, he said, God is only responsible for the course that he authored you to run, not the course that you've chosen. So he's only responsible for what he's authored you to run, not what you have chosen, not your decision, not what you think is right, not where you think you should go, not the person that you think you should spend the rest of your life with. If God didn't author it, got to beware, because you're headed for a world of hurt, you know. Or you may try and make it work. You know, if God's called you to do this, not everybody's called into the ministry. God's, when you look at all the different professions and things, the medical field, they're anointed. They have that set appointment, that set course, and they're anointed to do what they do. Thank God for these people. And not everybody's called into the ministry, but you better find out what your appointed course is. And you don't have to guess, you don't have to wonder. But if already you've been walking with the Lord 20, 30 years, and you kind of don't know yet, get with the Holy Ghost. He's not hiding these things from you. He'll reveal them to you. He'll let you know. He'll help you. He'll help bring to pass, because after all, God said, if I authored it, which I did, I authored your course, I will help you finish it. I'll help you finish. But some people get to great, great starts, wonderful starts. You know, I was thinking about all of the mighty men and women that God has used. You know, we hear of all these big name ministries, these men and women who God has prospered. They're wealthy. God has increased them. They have mansions. They have cars. You know, they have airplanes and jets. They have basically everything of the world. They got fame, power. They're also anointed. God uses them mightily. And then Pastor Herman and I were talking about this. I asked him the other day, I says, why is it with some of these ministers, these mighty men of God that have everything, their ministries, you know, you hear them say they started out with 20 people in the church, and then over a period of time, God brought them in the increase, and they have like 8,000. Then it grew to 15,000. Then they had to buy more property and build a bigger church, and now it's mega thousands. And yes, God's using them, and the anointing is on their lives, and then something happens in their race that pulled them out. And you may be thinking, I thought, but they have everything. God's blessed them royally. They have everything. And then before you know it, you read in the newspaper, on the news, so-and-so, you know, got caught in an adulterous affair, or this had happened, and they had to step down from the ministry, or this had happened. Then before you know it, they are no more. You never hear of them again. What happened to their race? They were running so good. They were running so strong. They had a great start. They had the tenacity. God was using them mightily. And then something happened where they got interceded. The enemy came in and pulled them out. And it's so sad because of the start that they had. God authored their race. But did they finish? A lot of them didn't finish. Now, that's just some. And thank God for these ministries that are still growing strong, scandal-free. Their ministries are pure. There's nothing in it to where, you know, it's questionable. Or I wonder where, you know, this is going, or where that money, or, you know, what are they? God delights in the prosperity of his servants. So never down. You know, look upon a ministry that's prospering, or somebody that has a Bentley or a Rolls Royce. Praise God. No, look at Abraham and the men in the Bible. My goodness, of the prosperity God brought them into. He delights in the prosperity of his servants. But somehow you can get deceived and pulled off. And you're running a good race, but yet the enemy, through some, and we all have weaknesses, can just weave in a weakness, see, locate our weaknesses, and then maybe bring in some pride. And you continue on what you're doing, and you, because the anointing is still flowing and people are still getting saved and you're growing, you think that God's hand of approval is on you. But it's actually he's honoring the faith of the people and hoping, giving you grace that you'll change and get back on track and get back on the appointed course. So in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking away. Hebrews 12:2, this is in the Amplified. It says, looking away from all that will distract, to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. Looking away. You know, sometimes you just got to look away. It's as simple as that. Sometimes you just got to look away. Look away from that which would distract you, because it could be just something so minor, so minute, and you just need look the other way and keep going on your set course. Don't look over there. Don't look there. You know, you're on your website, you're doing some work, or you're doing some homework, you're working out a lesson for your ministry, whatever, and an ungodly site pops up, a porn site, you better look away. You better look away. Delete that thing and don't, you know. Now with this new change on our televisions, you know, with our cable and things, you're surfing and checking and trying to, where's that channel at and where's that going? And sometimes something pops up on the scene, on the screen there. You better look away. Don't go gazing at that thing and giving a couple minutes for it to seep into your eye gates or even your ear gates, because it'll pull you. It'll pull you off course. You know, just a little, the enemy just needs a little crack just to weave in to get you off course. You need to just look away. Look in the other direction. A good example of that is in 2 Samuel, in the 11th chapter, King David. It says that King David, when he was appointed king, one day he decides, and it was the springtime, one day he decides to go up on the rooftop. And he's just up on top of the rooftop, just admiring all of Jerusalem's magnificence. And then lo and behold, you know, the enemy accommodates him. And he gazes and looks upon Bathsheba, who was bathing. And so he started gazing upon her. And you know, King David, it would have been wise for him just to look away, just to look away. But he didn't. He locked in, gazed, kind of like a peeping Tom type of thing, you know, and staring. And then after that, you know, he started getting into lust after her. And, you know, the funny thing is, was during that time, that was in the springtime. And in the springtime, all of the kings normally were on the battlefield, but King David chose not to go to battle, and he stayed home and stayed in Jerusalem. So David, King David, was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So that's another clue too. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time will pull you off course, and it will set you, and it'll derail you. And this is what happened to King David. And if he would have just took that moment and looked away, you know, when, sometimes people are weird. I remember when I used to deliver mail, and you have a package and you go to the door, and somebody comes to the door in their birthday suit, and you're like, dear Lord, you know, can you sign for this, you know? And all kind of things. We live in a weird, you know, age. You go down the beach, not to even mention, you don't even have to go McKenna. Yeah. You take your kids and family down a beach, and then you see, you know, people frolicking. And it's not young people. It's in their 50s, 60s. And, oh, You got to look away. Just look away. Look at your person next to you and say, just look away. Just look away. Turn your head. Don't dwell on that thing because it will take you out of your race. Yeah. And if David, King David, would have done that, it would have saved him a world of hurt, of heartache and misery. It would have. Because look what it ended up doing. Because he didn't look away. And because his eyes feasted on the beauty and the charms of Bathsheba, where did it end him in? Adultery. He ended up murdering Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And then he had to lie on top of all that, lies upon lies, to cover up for these things. And then Bathsheba was pulled into this. And she wasn't an innocent bystander by any means, you know. She was fully engaged in this as well. But then, too, she's thinking, well, after all, the king summoned me. You know, so she submitted to him. But if he would have just looked away, it would have saved him from all of that. Even how they wanted to kill Bathsheba. They wanted to stone her. And yet all of this could have been avoided if King David would have just looked the other way and went downstairs but he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So you being in the wrong place at the wrong time, somewhere where you know you shouldn't be. Well, I know, but I'm strong. You know, I have the Lord. And, you know, if you're not supposed to be there, wherever it is, you know, the enemies, you know, he lives for things like this. He loves, that's what he does best. You know, that roaring lion, he's not a lion, but, you know, he roars and just seeks whom to pounce on. They're not in the right place, the wrong time. They shouldn't be there. What are they doing in that bar? What are they doing at that party? What is a Christian, you know? And you may have a valid reason why you're there. And it may be valid. Well, I'm picking up this person or whatever it is, your family. But the enemy will always accommodate you. And if you're at the wrong place, he'll see to it, you know, that you get snagged or that you just get pulled off course. Don't think you're so spiritual and so mighty men of God, mighty woman of God. You know, I'm prayed up and I got the armor of God. Hey, if he did it to King David and so many others in the Bible, not saying that we're lesser. No, we live in a day today where we have much more revelation and we got the power of the Holy Ghost and all that. But don't think that, you know, yeah, Superman, where the enemy knows your weaknesses, you know, and he just, you know, looking for the right opportunity to pounce on you and to pull you out. And you may say, well, I'm still on course. I still go to church. I still pray. I still pray and speak in the Holy Ghost. You know, I do all of this stuff. Yeah, but are you on the right course? Are you on the appointed course that he has for you? Remember how he written it out in the book of life? He recorded what you're going to be, what you're going to do, your ministry. He recorded it from the beginning to the end. And if you're not there, it's basically pretty easy just to get back on track. So looking away from these things. Yeah. How did King David, he started out strong. He had a few setbacks. But then look what he did in Psalm 51. He was a great repenter. He came before the Lord and he just cried out, poured out his heart before God. God, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit unto me. Cleanse me, O God. And then God even brought to his remembrance. You know, he remembered back in his younger days when he was the shepherd watching the sheep and how God just mightily anointed him, strengthened him supernaturally. He killed the lion and the bear. He reviewed all of this. So just because you got off course doesn't mean you're finished or done. Don't, you may have had a strong start. You may have gotten a little bit off here. You may have even slowed down. You may be even totally where, I don't, you know, I'm just way out there. It's easy to come back on your appointed course. All you have to do is just repent. And you got the Holy Ghost who wants you back on track, who wants you to finish your course. We're all finishers here. When I look and see, look at every one of you, everyone here is a finisher. And we're determined to see, Pastor Herman and I are determined to see each and every one of you finish your course, finish our course as well. You know, we'll go after you. That's what shepherds do. You know, they keep a close eye on their sheep, you know, making sure, you know, we want to keep you fat, but I mean, don't misunderstand this, spiritually fat, not lazy, because when the sheep are spiritually fat, it's hard to jump over that fence, you know. You just, you know, it's hard. You can't, you just can't. You're spiritually fat. So you stay in the pasture that you're supposed to be in. You stay put in the church where God called you to be. You're not gazing over at the next pasture, you know, looking at what they have to eat, looking at their, oh, that grass got a different kind of nutrition. And God knows exactly the type of spiritual diet and nutrition that we're to have here. Yeah, and it's prepared all the time, daily, weekly, for you, for the sheep. So again, it's not gazing, not looking away at something else that would pull you away to get you, well, that church down the street or that church over there. Yeah, we've been looking. They've got multi-ministries and this and that going on and for the kids and whatnot. But did God call you there, though? Did he say, what is your appointed course? If it's staying here at Faith Family Maui, stay on course here. Because you get off, you're not going to finish your course because he didn't author it. He didn't ordain it. And you're out of, and it's called disobedience. You're out of the will of God. And you know, that's what we don't want. You know, starting out strong, having a good form, having a good posture, and then just going off and losing everything God has imparted into you, losing the anointing, losing the call. That's horrible. That is so sad. But the enemy, that's his one of his assignments that he chooses to do. But we are not going to do that. Now, look at another example of a strong finisher in the Bible was Saul of Tarsus. Turn to Acts, the book of Acts 20. Acts 20, verse. This is just a scripture. After Saul became Paul. We all know the history and the story of Saul. Saul was serving the devil big time. He was one of the mighty strong Roman soldiers, persecuting Christians all the time, arresting them, bringing them back to Rome, putting them in jail in the prison, persecuting them, killing them. And he took pride in this, but he was deceived to the fact where he thought that, you know, this was his race. This was what he was appointed to do, and he did it well. And people all over, they feared Saul. But then one day, and we all know what happened, Saul got knocked off his high horse, and that blinding light, and he had that mighty encounter with Jesus Christ, and he got transformed. And within days, it says that he was so changed, so transformed by that power of God from that encounter with Jesus to where it wasn't even the same man. And his name was changed from Saul to the great apostle Paul, whom we know today, Paul the apostle. He started out serving the enemy. He started out being hated and feared by man, Christians. And yet when God got a hold of him and set him on his right course, the appointed course, and look how he finished his race. You talk about a strong finish. I think out of a lot of the mighty men and women in the Bible, Paul was a monumental example of how to start and how to finish your race. But the apostle Paul said towards the end, after all that he did, all he did for Christ, all of the preaching he did, all of the souls that he saved, all of the laying on of hands and going to all the different areas, being thrown in jail, beaten and robbed and shipwrecked and all of those things. Paul, he says, towards the end of his race, he says that I have fought a good fight. I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I finished my course and I kept the faith. I've kept the faith. And then look in verse 20, verse 24. This is Paul saying this. Acts 20th chapter, verse 24. After all that he'd gone through, even when the Lord spoke to him, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and saying, you go down into that city, guess what? You're going to be in prison. You're going to suffer hardships. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be in stocks. And you know, that didn't move him. He just went. It's almost like he was driven by that. It's just like, oh yeah, I'll show them. I'll go anyway. He had that stamina, that boldness. And notice in verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me. Neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with sadness. No, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained from the Lord Jesus Christ. None of these things moved him. And so yet when we go through things, and we all have them, but you can't let them move you. What he meant was here, they affect us. We can't just ignore these things, the trials of life and all these things that we have to deal with. We don't ignore them, but he says these things came against him, these persecutions, these beatings. He was even forewarned about all that, but it didn't move him off his course. And he said that he would finish his course with joy. Joy, not complaining and mumbling and grumbling. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, don't have the backup. Don't have the people. You know, the murmuring and this is hard. That is hard. Never heard him complaining or grumbling. Even when him and Silas were thrown in the dungeon, he said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. And they proved it by just breaking out in powerful praise and worship. And so if I recall, none of us have been in stocks. None of us been beaten raw to bleeding. None of us had been suffered hardship to where you were thrown in prison for your faith. Could we say, nothing moves me? You know, I'm going to stay on my course. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to get mad at God. Because why would this happen? But you got to examine and see, am I on my appointed course, my race? He authored it. He originated it. And he says, I'll be responsible to finish it also. I won't do it for you. You'll have to do that. You have to run your race. But guess what? We got the Holy Spirit, the standby. You know, you watch these runners and they have those different stations, and then you have all the different volunteers and helpers there, and they're sticking their hand out there in the road with the bottle of water and the Gatorade and maybe a snack or something. Well, the Holy Ghost is right there running with us, you know, our standby. And he don't leave you and say, what are you doing way over there in the pit? I didn't author that. You started out on Highway 101, Holiness Highway, and you ended up there in a ditch somewhere, in a pit. But the Holy Ghost runs with us. He goes with us, and he strengthens us, and he talks to us, and he pulls us out when we fall, when we hit potholes, when we hit cracks and crevices in our race in the road. He's there to say, avoid that. Don't step in that. I wouldn't go there if I were you. He doesn't do it for us, but he's running. He's running with us. He's running your race with you, and he's determined to see you finish, to see each and every one of us finish. That brings him joy. That fulfills the Father's will for our lives, for each of us to finish and not dragging, you know. Paul said, with joy. With joy I finish my race, not, you know, limping and, you know, just begrudgingly into heaven. Whew, just made it, you know. Man, and, you know, boy, you know, that old Christians, how goeth the fight? How goeth your race? You know, what's the devil been doing in your life this week? What's he been doing? Shouldn't even talk like that. Didn't even bring him in. With joy we run our race. With joy. He's given us everything that we need to finish. But he says he won't do it for us. There's in Hebrews 12:2, it talks about that great cloud of witnesses that are a compass round and about us. The Greek word for clouds is nephos, N-E-P-H-O-S, not that you care. But in Greek times, the word clouds was used to describe the highest seat in the bleachers of a stadium. You know, back then when they had the gladiators and all of that, and they would have their sports things, if you got seated and if your seat was way up there in the bleachers, they'd say, oh, you're up in the clouds. I know back when we used to go to games back in the East Coast, we would go to a Steeler game, and we would look at our tickets, and then the usher would say, they would call it peanut heaven, or they would say nosebleed section, you know. They'd say, you're way, way, way up there in the bleachers, you know. And so the clouds, meaning you were way up there in the clouds in the bleachers. And just as you are taking steps of obedience now, the bleachers of heaven, way up there in the clouds, are filled with people who have already faced the enemy, won their race. They have acquired victorious. And maybe they can't directly look down upon us, but we have them cheering us on because you know that they would love to be here where we're at. We're on the heels of the greatest, greatest revival, greatest move of God. It's us. We're called to do that. But if you're not on your appointed course, if you've gotten off, if you've looked away, you're not going to be able to finish strong. You may not. We want you to finish, but you want to finish with joy, strong, victorious, not, like I said, not limping, not begrudging, not, you know, with your arm in a sling, but you want to have people with you too. We want to take fruit. Yeah, don't you want to see all the fruit in heaven when you stand before Jesus and he says, good and faithful servant, well done, enter into thy rest. Now, would you like to meet all of the fruit, all of the people that you brought unto to the Lord? Would you like to meet them? Remember that time when you weren't even thinking. Remember the time, James, when you and Melina were taking your baby to the doctors and you were all concerned and you stopped and prayed for that person. The Lord nudged you. When you were having coffee and you're picking up your Starbucks and the Lord just nudged you and said, go and talk to this one or go pray. They're in heaven because of you. Would you like to meet them? These are all the fruits that we'll be taking. But if you're off course, you're not going to bother. You're not going to bother. You're just going to be, you know, you're going to turn inward and just become a little bit more selfish and more just me, and I, and you'll get yourself off course. I'm going to close with this scripture. Well, actually, there's two. I'm in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen if you want. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So Ecclesiastes says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. Again, doesn't matter what your beginning was. Doesn't matter if you had a really slow start. Doesn't matter in the early days what came against you, what you were involved in, you know. Heavy drug use, heavy drinking, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's how you're going to finish. How are you going to finish your course? That's what's important. That's what's going to speak volumes. That's what's going to... I love those movies, you know, where they hit the home run, and I love when they go, he slides into home. I love that. You know, they're on their backside, you know. just slide right into home, right on home base, you know, right under the radar, just made it, and then the ball comes in. Safe, the umpire says, you know. Holy Ghost says, safe, you know. Enter into thy rest, good and faithful servant. You've done it. You ran your race. You finished your course. You kept the faith, just like Paul says. That's what we should all have if we don't get raptured, if some of us die before that. That's what I'd like, you know, my name. She kept the faith. She ran her course. Yeah, she finished her race, you know, and that should be something that we all desire to accomplish, to do. Amen. And the last scripture is Galatians 5, verse 7. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 7. Says, you were running, this is out of the, I believe, the Message. It says, you were running superbly, meaning you were running your race superbly. Who cut in on you? Nobody likes to be cut in on, whether it's on the highway, whether somebody cuts in on your date, somebody cuts in on you in a line somewhere. You're standing, you know, at the, you know, just imagine you're standing at the DMW waiting there for 3 hours. Somebody cuts in on you and then takes your, you know, nobody likes to be cut in on. And the enemy, he'll cut in on you. He'll cut in on your race. And it says in Galatians, you were running so well. You were running superbly. Who cut in on you? Deflecting or diverting you from your true course of obedience. Your true course of obedience. This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. So just know, if you ended up in a detour, God didn't lead you there, the Holy Spirit. He was there all along trying to get your attention. Don't, not, you know, stay on this course, stay on this road. Don't go down there. It's going to end up into a dead end, and you're going to hit potholes, and you're going to end up in all these cracks. And it's going to bring you more harm than good. So he says, this detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And please don't toss this off as insignificant. Yeah. This detour comes from the enemy. Any detour off of the course of obedience gets you into disobedience. Because he hates us so much because we have everything that he lost. He was once anointed. He was the anointed cherub. No more. No more. His fate, his course is 1,000 years in the lake of fire where he won't be able to bother us no more, the world, to deceive the world. That's his course. That's his destination. But our course is more than bright. It's glorious. But we've got to finish. We've got to finish. That's the key. And we want strong finishes. We want strong finishes. And now as a body, if somebody isn't finishing strong, we can do something to help. Yes, we got the Holy Ghost. But you know, you can lock under arms with someone and you can pull them up and lift them up if you see that they're getting a little bit dehydrated, if they're getting a little bit, you know, weather-worn, or, you know, you get a little bit dizzy from the heat that the enemy's breathing down your back continually. You know, we can lock arms with each other, and you can pray them, and you can encourage them and build them up, not just to each man and woman his own. We can help each other in our race. Doesn't mean that you leave your lane, lead your course, and get on theirs, because their course isn't you. But those, it says, the word says, that are spiritually stronger, that you should help those that are struggling a little, having a harder time, that haven't quite reached their potential. But you that are more mature, speak a word, take them to lunch, go have coffee with them, go after them, see what you can do. Say, you know what, I struggled with that, but you know what I did? This is what God did. Share that and help people. Not like, well, you know, you're on your own, you figure it out yourself, you know. Nobody was there to help me when I went through it. Nobody called me and checked up on me. Don't think like that. Don't think like that. That kind of thinking, it comes from an unrenewed mind. It doesn't come from the Lord. So, and what merit would be in it if you have a strong start and you don't finish? There's no merit, there's no jubilee, there's no victory in that at all if you don't finish. Come 3/4 of the way, come 80% of the way, and then the last steps of the race, you know, you can almost see the finish line. You know, you can almost see Jesus waving. And you know, just like we mentioned, some of these great ministries, these great men and women of God who you think, I would watch some of them and I would think, oh gosh, I would love to do some of the stuff they do. The miracles, the anointing, the excellence of the way that God just uses them and they move. I'd say that I would love to be used like that. And then 5, 6, 7 years later down the line, tragedy, scandal has hit them, pulled them out completely out of the ministry, out of the Lord's will, and God helped them, but who knows, you know, they even finished their course. And that is heartbreaking. But we don't want strong starts, but strong. The Lord says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, of His might. There's, as I was preparing, the Holy Spirit put it like this. He gave me 3 categories. And he says this. There's 3 D's. If you're on your course, if you're in your race, if you're discouraged, that's the first D. If you're distracted, or if you've been derailed. Derailed. Derailed means, you know, you... pulled off your course, meaning, you know, we associate that with a train running on a track and it gets derailed. Well, it's completely shut down. You're no good. You're at a standstill. You come to a complete halt. You're derailed. You jumped off track. Now you need major help. You need, you know, someone to help get you back on the right track again so you can keep moving in the right direction. Derailed means you're completely come to a halt. You may still love God, you may still come to church, you may still follow, pray, all of that, but you've been derailed. So those 3 things are, those 3 categories is discouraged, distracted, and derailed. And if that speaks to you, if you can say, and everybody bow their heads.